That witch's brew. Damn, 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 damn.
All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of the Mixed Witches podcast. It is halfway through March by the time this comes out, because it's not halfway through March while we're recording this. Because I want to have an actual weekend. And since I don't have a weekend, the weekend this is being recorded, I'm recording this so I can have next weekend off. So.
Yay.
Yay.
So.
Yes.
Yes.
Anyway, it is my turn to go first today.
What do you bring up?
I am talking about Ostara. And the two subjects, the two subjects that I researched for the next two episodes, I feel like way too much than I ever needed to know about these two subjects. But I'm going to tell you about all of it. So I'm going to start off by talking about Ostara, because I'm also going to talk about how the spring equinox is celebrated in other parts of the world. But I'm going to start with Ostara, because that's kind of what applies to us in a sort of minor sense. Because Ryan and I don't really follow the Sabbats. We just mildly dabble in the Sabbats. But anyways, Like I've said before, you don't have to participate in the Sabbats to be a witch. The Sabbats are a Wiccan thing. But a lot of people do participate in the Sabbats and the Wheel of the Year. So I'm talking about it. Anyways, after that. Going on from that. So, Ostara takes place between the 20th to the 23rd of March. It is, hold on, I'll preface this, my notes are a fucking mess, so just bear with me. My notes are a mess, I didn't rewrite them, you're gonna hear page turning. What the fuck did I just say? Fuck. Okay, yes. So Ostara takes place between the 20th to the 23rd of March. The 20th of March is the spring equinox for the Northern Hemisphere. For the Southern Hemisphere, it'd be the autumnal equinox. It is also the first day of spring. So if you don't know what the word equinox means, it means equal nights in Latin. Random weird trivia for you. So I already mentioned that the in the Southern Hemisphere, it would be your autumnal equinox. So for the spring equinox in the Southern Hemisphere, that takes place on the 23rd or the 22nd of September. I'm going, flipping all the way back to my Ostara stuff. I did that last, like a dummy. Ostara is the celebration of balance, equilibrium, and oftentimes ancestors. It's kind of like Samhain, in a way. And also, in a way, it's a kind of another time where the veil is a little thinner, which I assume is why we celebrate ancestors during this time. But anyway, it's named after the Germanic goddess Ostara, and traditionally, she was honored in April with festivals of new life, rebirth, fertility, and growth. This is also the beginning of Easter and is how estrogen came to be named. Because Ostara can also be called Ostre, which is E-O-S-T-R-E.
Oh.
The symbols for Ostara are...
You learn something new every day.
Yeah, right? The symbols for Ostara are eggs and seeds, and in some cultures, this is symbolized by the cosmic egg. Also, the hair plays a huge part in this because, you know, hairs breed. That's the easiest way to explain it. Hairs breed. But this is essentially where we get the Easter Bunny, why we associate this bunny, the Easter Bunny, with eggs. You know, as a kid, you never really understood because you're like, well, like, bunnies don't lay eggs. That doesn't make any sense. It does now. It does now. No, the bunny is not laying eggs. But yes, the bunny does have to do with this holiday. Traditionally, the hare was revered in Celtic traditions as being associated with the moon and lunar goddesses such as Artemis, Freya, Hecate, and Ostara. For the Christian calendar, Easter is set by the phase of the moon, which is also a weird thing if you never knew that. I found that out this time, and I was very confused. I was like, all right. I wrote like a whole little segment down somewhere in my notes. Where in my notes? Nobody knows. I guess we'll find out when I get back there. For pagans, this holiday is celebrating the goddess as the maiden and the sun god, joining in their sacred marriage, and like I said, one of the Sabbats. So if you don't know what the three moon goddess is, it is a Wiccan thing. I don't know how much you've read into this thing, but essentially the three moon goddess goes through these phases throughout the year. She goes through the maiden, the mother, and the crone. So during this part of the season, during this part of the wheel of the year, she is the maiden. And that means she's full of fertility, she's full of life, she's prime, essentially to become pregnant, which is what happens on Beltane, when the sun god is also prime and ready. You get it. That's what Beltane is essentially for, is to get pregnant.
It all makes sense.
It all makes sense. It really does. But
well, not to y'all, because we're not there yet, but for us, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
You guys will get it when we get to Beltane. Unless you already know.
Unless you already know, yeah. But the three moon goddess goes through her phases throughout the year, just like the sun god does. But unlike the sun god, she doesn't die every single year. She just, you know, reverts back to the maiden and goes about her day. While the sun god, he dies on Samhain, and then the goddess gives birth to him again. And when she is the maiden and he has grown into a young man, they have their marriage again, and he gets her pregnant essentially with himself, and then he starts to wither and grow old as the seasons go on, and she gives birth, she gives birth on Yule. And then he grows up again, and it's just a full cycle that goes on and on and on.
The Sabbats.
That is essentially where the Sabbats come from. So this next bit is coming from mabonhouse.co. Anyway, ignore me. Some associations with Ostara are the colors are green, pink, and blue. The foods are eggs, honey, sprouted greens, baked goods, and asparagus. The stones are aquamarine, amethyst, and rose quartz. The symbols, like I already talked about, are rabbits, eggs, spring flowers, lambs, clover, and baskets. And then the flowers and plants are clovers, daffodils, crocus, and tulips. I don't know what crocus is. Don't ask me. Don't at me about it. I don't fucking know. And then the deities associated with Ostara are Isis. I'm not going to try to say it. Essentially, Ostara again. And then Adonis. Some activities you can do to celebrate Ostara are spring cleaning. So freshening up your house and life and decluttering the fuck out of everything you've collected over the winter that you couldn't get rid of. Plant seeds for your garden. Decorate an Ostara altar. Make egg-based dishes and desserts. Go for a walk. Meditate or journal. So this is like a good time for intention setting stuff. It's a make your intention journal. Make hot cross buns, which I didn't know was an actual food you can eat. I've only played the game.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Like, I've never actually thought about it before. Pick flowers and then decorate eggs. You know, like, I used to love decorating eggs, and I don't remember when we stopped, but I was very sad when we did.
I haven't done that in so long.
You know, when your parents believe that you're too old for stuff, and you're just like, but why?
I know.
A tragedy. So that's what I have about Ostara. Now I'm going to go and rewind and go back to the spring equinox, which, like I said, is on the 20th of March. It is the start of the new year for the ancient Indian and Persian calendars. Astronomically, It is the astronomical start of spring as opposed to the meteorological start of spring. For the meteorological, it is grouped by the months, weather, and temperature shifts. So technically, the real first day of spring is March 1st and not March 20th.
Oh.
Yeah. It was just a weird, fun fact I didn't know anything about. So now I'm going to go into how other cultures and countries celebrate. I'm not going to go into that yet. I found this other fun fact that I had earlier. It's not about the Christian calendar. The cool fact is that every planet has an equinox because all of them are tilted, which I've never thought about that before. Because it really doesn't matter for us personally, but Mars's spring equinox is on the 7th of February for this year. And Saturn's is every 14.7 years Saturn has an equinox. And its next equinox will be the 6th of May in 2025. Saturn being the long bitch.
Big bitch.
Now I'm going to go into how other cultures celebrate the spring equinox. So we're going to start with Mexico. On each fall and spring equinox, people gather at the El Castillo Pyramid in the Maya city Chichen Itza ruins to watch shadows that look like a giant serpent slither down the steps of the pyramid. I didn't write of the pyramid, so it was like, blah, 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 what comes next? slither down the
steps of the what?
The who? Watch shadows that look like a giant serpent slither down the steps of the pyramid. I did it again. To merge with the serpent head at the bottom. The pyramid is dedicated to the feathered serpent god, Quetzalcoatl, something like that. I'm really sorry. But anyways, the pyramid is dedicated to that god. In India, Holi is an Indian spring festival, also known as the Festival of Love, because it celebrates fertility and love, where communities converge essentially to have a giant party. There's a bonfire and dancing and people playing with water and colorful powders. So they splash people with water and then they throw essentially powdered dye into the air so that it, like, if you've ever seen what a color run looks like, that's essentially what this is, except on a larger scale. Also, the amount of cultures I saw having to do with water for the spring equinox is very confusing to me. I'll get into that. I didn't look up why. I'm not going to look up why. But there are a lot of cultures that have to do with water for the spring equinox. Maybe because it's melting in all of, like the rivers are melting in all the places that freeze over because they're a hellscape in the winter. I don't know. All right, so in Slovakia, schoolboys braid willow branches with ribbon and sometimes... Wow. See? I apparently needed to rewrite these. Yeah, add that in there. In Slovakia, schoolboys braid willow branches, sometimes with ribbon attached, and chase their sisters and female friends around with them on Easter morning. They playfully, this is in air quotes, playfully splash the girls that they like with water as they chase them. The girls then gift the boys with chocolate and painted eggs. This isn't followed by everyone, though, but it is still participated in Slovakia. Also, let's talk about the fact that if I walked outside and one of my male friends splashed me with water, he'd be dead. I would have taken that stick from him. Words. Words that I feel like I could get in trouble for, so I'm not going to say them. But just know, don't non-consensually splash me with water. I will not have it. I'm not going to walk outside, you know, hair did, makeup did, in a nice dress, and then get splashed with water because you said, oh, this is going to be fun. Don't do it. It's not cute. Was it fun when I hurt you with the stick that you were holding?
No.
It, like, for all I know, they all get together in the street and, like, play these games. But I'm just, the way that I'm imagining it is the boy is standing there with a cup of water and he knocks on the girl's door. And when she opens it, he pours the water on her. That's what I'm imagining.
I'm sure somebody's done.
I know I did it when I was a kid. Sorry, Mickey. Moving on. In Thailand, the Songkran Water Festival is basically it's another big ass party. There's loud music, dancing, and it's quoted as the world's biggest water fight, according to CNN. I don't know how long ago that was. I didn't check the date. But that's apparently what they called it, was the world's biggest water fight. So revelers throw water everywhere and on everyone. Why? What is this? Is this like marking territory? I don't understand. In Central Asia, Nowruz, meaning New Day, is the kickoff for a full month of celebration. And this is also the start of the new year in Iran. To signify the start of festivities, revelers jump over bonfires. That's all I know about Nowruz. I saw something about feasting, but that usually happens at parties, so. In Bulgaria, people exchange martinitsi, which are red and white twined decorations that they wear as either bracelets or pins on their clothes. And when they see the first stork flying in the sky or the first blossom on a fruit tree, they tie the martinitsi to the branch so that when branches are blooming, they kind of just look cool. I don't know. It's pretty. I saw a picture of it. You should look it up.
Okay.
Also, this next one, which is for pagans, druids, Wiccans. I think I talked about it during the Samhain episode because it's for both the spring and autumnal equinox this happens. But people travel to Stonehenge to perform ceremonies and hold celebrations as the sun rises on the morning of March 20th. In Japan, the spring equinox is a national holiday known as Shunbun no Hi, where families come together to honor ancestors who've passed on by cleaning their gravestones and leaving offerings of rice dumplings. In China, King Ming Festival, which is also known as the Tomb Sweeping Day, marks the seasons while honoring ancestors. This is done on April 4th, and families light lanterns and fly kites, as well as decorating tombs and lighting incense or firecrackers on the tombs. I did see that. It said on the tombs. I don't know what you're trying to do, like excite your ancestors. That's definitely going to excite them. But anyways, doing those things is supposed to signify both death and life, like the celebration of life. In Poland, they symbolically bury winter by making straw effigies of Marzana. I was like, is that a W? No, it's an N. By making straw effigies of Marzana, the ice maiden, and then they dress her in a wedding dress with a... I didn't finish that statement, apparently. That's cool. Anyway. They dress her in a wedding dress, and they put a wreath on her head, and then they throw her in a river or a lake, or set her on fire. And then they collect flowers and branches to decorate with ribbons and beads. So Poland, I'd like to talk to you again. Because I think this is the third or fourth very weird celebration I've read about from Poland. But to be fair, they probably think our celebrations are weird too, so... At least you get to set something on fire, maybe.
Well.
In Belarus, they decorate trees with ribbons and paper birds, as well as bake bread in the shape of birds that they later throw into the air, and this is to welcome the birds back to their country. In the U.S., if you don't celebrate Easter, or never did, or don't live in the U.S., I don't know. I don't know who you are. But in the U.S., a lot of the times people will hard-boil eggs, and then you'll take, like, watercolors or crayons, and you'll decorate the eggs. Or, more commonly nowadays, you take plastic-colored eggs, and you fill them with, like, chocolates or jelly beans, or sometimes like grandparents, at least my grandparents, this is what they like to do. They would put like quarters in some and then little dollar bills in others. And then we hide those eggs, all of them, cooked ones and fake ones. We hide them and then you go Easter egg hunting. And then you all, like, once you've gathered all the eggs, hopefully you got all the cooked ones. Once you gathered all the eggs, you all just...
We never did cooked ones, so...
Lucky you.
We didn't have that problem.
Lucky you. We, found one time. Don't remember how old it is. Yeah. It was, like, under a bush or something. Anyway...
All of our money once went into gold and eggs.
Mm. I think all of our money ones went into green eggs, is what my parents did.
Yeah. We would do gold eggs. Those are the ones you knew had money in them.
Yeah. I think they did.
My cousin would eat all of the jelly beans out of the eggs.
Fucker.
Like, I can't remember, I think it was a specific color he would eat, or all of them, I can't really remember, but I do remember he would go through the eggs and, like, pluck out the jelly beans and eat them.
What a dickhead.
I'm just like, you know what, why'd you gotta ruin it all?
I remember we only had, like, 2 gold eggs, and those are the ones that you knew had, like, cash money in them. Like the little green ones had, like I said, quarters and like dollar bills and stuff in them. No, the gold ones usually had like a 20 in them, maybe 2, if you were really lucky. Depends on who was like contributing into the eggs that year. But yeah, that's at least...
We never did coins, we always did dollars.
Well, yeah. My grandma liked to put coins in there because she liked to shake them up. Oh, we had to have a lot because there was, let's see, 4 for my family.
I mean, we didn't have a lot of money eggs, what I mean.
Oh.
So they were just dollars.
Oh. We had 9
there were like
kids.
A couple.
We had 9 kids that we had to provide eggs for, so, yeah.
We had 5? Yeah.
Either way.
I almost didn't count myself, so I was going to be like 4. No.
Wrong.
4 and me.
4 and an extra. No.
4 and also myself. 5.
5 all together. But that's how, like, usually in the U.S. we celebrate Easter, at least where I came from. I'm sure there are different traditions, like, across the U.S. This place is fucking massive. So they can't all be the same. But that's what I have for Ostara. What do you bring us today?
Well, I bring Aries, because Aries is the sign that leads us into spring.
Aries?
Literally, Ostara. Somebody's birthday is on Ostara. There is an Aries out there whose birthday is on Ostara. And honestly, go away. Whoever you are. If you're an Aries who was born on Ostara, boo you. Unless you're the 20th, because then you get Pisces. But 21st to 23rd. Aries is. That's why y'all are out of pocket all the time. So, Aries season is from March 21st to April 19th. And Aries is the ram.
Yeah, he might be.
Yeah. Sorry, my tummy grumbled. I got distracted. So, Aries has a positive polarity and is the cardinal fire sign. It is the first sign of the zodiac. We start the whole wheel over again. And Aries is ruled by planet Mars. Aries also rules the first house. And Aries is said to rule the head and the adrenal.
Ew.
The mantra for Aries is I am first. No, it is I am. But honestly, I am first. That should just be the whole thing. And Aries is masculine / yang energy.
Yeah, it might be.
Aries is our, as I said, herald of spring in the Northern Hemisphere. And Aries rules over the tarot cards, the Emperor, the Two of Wands, Three of Wands, and the Four of Wands. So, oh, my tummy's gone. Sorry. So, I have some descriptive words for Aries. Arieses are known to be Arieses. Aries. That always just feels wrong. The Arieses. Aries can be known to be direct, headstrong, innovative, enthusiastic, courageous, or combative.
Oh.
I didn't separate the positive and negatives. Take with what you will. You'll know if it's you. If you're an Aries, you'll know. This is something I don't think I've ever said before. I'm reading this out of my Book of Shadows, so this is probably not as, I won't say not as extensive as normal, because this is just the general information. Some things could be missing from the other signs that I've done, but oh well. Everything is Googleable. You'll survive. But Aries is said to be in, or rather, let me rephrase. Mars is in dignity, or also called in domicile in Aries, because that is its natural sign. It's also the exaltation of the sun, which means that the sun feels comfortable being in Aries. Mars and the sun feel comfortable being in the sign of Aries.
Mm.
Rather, Venus and Saturn feel very uncomfortable being in the sign of Aries. Venus is said to be in detriment in Aries, and Saturn is said to be in fall. When I get into houses and planets and stuff, I can explain that more. Rather, I can explain that better. But basically, that's what that means. Mars and the sun feel comfy being in the sign of Aries, where Venus and Saturn feel very uncomfy.
They're like, get me out.
Which is funny because my Venus is in Aries. So,
bruh.
My Venus is uncomfy. Oh, my Saturn is also in Aries. You know, I got a few uncomfy placements. I understand. My Saturn and my Venus are in Aries. And they're just like, nah, man.
Fuck, man.
Raw. Nah. So, this is something I also have never touched on. Because it's rather complex, and since I'm talking out of my Book of Shadows, I will talk about it probably for the next couple of signs. But I've never talked about it before because I don't want to sit here and explain it. But I will touch on it a bit. Well, because it's sort of like, as we're doing this podcast, we're gaining more knowledge.
Yeah.
So I'm starting to understand it, so I can maybe explain it better, whereas I have not been able to. But this is like, this, it's okay. I'm making it out to be a lot more. It's just a little bit, I was like, okay, I think I'm getting it now.
Yeah.
So
no, I get it. I understand. We are learning as well.
We are baby witches still.
I mean,
when
like,
do you
even,
finally stop being a baby witch?
I mean, even if you listen to like our first couple of episodes, and are like, there are some things that our opinions have kind of changed on too. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I find it interesting. Anyways, continue.
Everything is subject to change.
Yes.
We could be doing this for 3 years and be saying some contradictory things.
Oh.
That's what happens.
For sure. For sure.
That's how life works. Anyway, the signs can be in what's called decans or decans. I'm actually not sure how it's pronounced, but whatever. I say deacons in my head, so that's what I'm going to keep saying. Whereas when you have, when a sign is ruling a house, there are different degrees that pertain to how that sign influences that house. So, it also has to do with the tarot cards. If you're wondering, how is the Two of Wands Aries? I'm about to explain, because it has to do with these deacons. The first deacon of Aries is Mars, which is the natural home of Aries. So if you have a planet from 0 degrees to 9 degrees in whatever house is in Aries, that means that that planet has a lot of Mars influence, which means, like, if you are an Aries sun, if your sun is between 0 and 9 degrees, you are going to be an Aries. If I were interpreting your chart, that would be an Aries, a stereotypical Aries. It's sort of its natural element because of that Mars energy. The second deacon of Aries is ruled by the sun. So if you had your sun in degrees 10 to 19, you would actually be more friendly and have more social graces than stereotypical. So you might not come off as an Aries to people. And if your sun, or whatever planet, is in the third deacon of Aries, that is ruled by Venus. So those Arieses, from degrees 20 to 29, are very soft Arieses. In fact, most people probably don't think you're an Aries. Also, that could do with your rising, because my rising is actually at 2 degrees. Your rising sign doesn't necessarily start at zero. So that can also, but whatever placement, whatever degree that actually has a different kind of interpretation, which shows the complexities of astrology and why it's not so cut and dry as bing, bang, boom, and why, honestly, your horoscope is always wrong. So I will use my own planets, for example. For example, my Saturn is actually in the second deacon. And my Venus is not in the third deacon, although that would be cool. But it's also in the second deacon. And I think my Mercury is in the first deacon. So all of those planets have different energies. So they're all in the sign of Aries, but they all translate differently. I have a lot of respect for people who interpret charts, because the deeper I get into it, the more I'm just like, bro.
There's so much.
It's just like, bro, what? So, if that's too much, what I'll say is, when you feel like you're reading, like, let's say you were sitting here, you're an Aries, and you're reading about Aries, I actually just heard somebody talking about this. And of course, I don't have too quick of a tongue. I literally don't feel like I want to debate people all the time, so I don't personally care. But I was watching a video, not about astrology, but he was making a comparison, and he was actually using how the fact that he's an Aquarius, but how none of those traits ever, work for, all the traits can be different for most people. This actually kind of explains it. Well, a lot of things explain that, but this is another explanation. You feel like you're not much of an Aries, quote unquote. There's a couple reasons why. It isn't as simple as just reading all your stuff and being like, oh, you're an Aries, you're a whatever sign. Although, honestly, sometimes I wish it was, because then this would be a lot easier.
Honestly, though.
Like, yeah. The Two of Wands, I think, I haven't written this down, but I think that is the order it goes. The Two of Wands is Mars, the Three of Wands is Sun, and the Four of Wands is Venus. So they go together. That's how they've interpreted. And then that's also how the interpretation of the cards interpreted. And the Emperor is just Aries. No Deacon. The whole sign. So, some famous Aries. We have Lady Gaga is an Aries.
Oh.
Lady Gaga, sidebar, Lady Gaga also has a Scorpio moon. So, honestly, girl, you okay? Lady Gaga, if you're listening to this, are you okay? Thank you. I love Lady Gaga. Reese Witherspoon is an Aries. Elton John is an Aries. Ewan McGregor is an Aries.
Oh.
Keira Knightley is an Aries.
Oh. Another love of my life.
Reba McEntire is an Aries. Mariah Carey is an Aries. give me a second. Ooh, Paul Rudd is an Aries. Interesting. I'm trying to look for more men's because I didn't say many men. I said a couple, but
yeah,
we don't love the men apparently. As I scroll, ooh, Celine Dion is an Aries.
Oh,
Celine Dion is an Aries.
So surprised you had to repeat it twice.
Oh, and Robert Downey Jr. is an Aries.
Mm. How does that just seem right, though?
And nobody is shocked. I was like, nobody's shocked. Wherever his son is, it's definitely in the first 9 degrees. Because he's an Aries. I kid. It can be anywhere. I kid. But he just seems like an Aries.
Yeah.
My brain just blanked.
I could see it on the screen. I was like, that's a long pause.
That's what I have. This is my brain. That was my brain.
Your brain said hello? No.
I don't have any characters because I forgot about them.
Oh, yeah.
No, literally.
You told me.
Yeah.
You told
me. Honestly, because they're self-explanatory. Let's be for real. Be like Sailor Mars is an Aries, obviously.
just.
Actually, my media example, that's an Aries.
Oh. Well, what is your media example then? That lead in.
Well, I thought since we just talked about Aries, I was going to do something else. I was literally looking, and then it clicked in my head, the obvious, that Wonder Woman is an Aries. So, Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman.
I do mean the movie, but any Wonder Woman works.
Yeah.
You can also watch the old TV show, because I do. I do like to watch it. Literally is my favorite thing.
Grade A material.
Linda Carter could literally punch me in the face, and I would just...
Let her. Oh my god.
So.
No, because, yeah. No, it made me think of something. I was talking to one of my coworkers yesterday, and we were talking about corsets, and I made a comment about doms and corsets, like female doms and corsets. And the thought that crossed my head, like, crossed through my brain was, if she's in a corset, she can step on me. And I was like, oh. Oh. Maybe we need to talk about that. But you talking about Wonder Woman and getting punched in the face makes me think about that. Because
Wonder Woman could punch me in the face. That would be
fun. Full agreement.
It's Wonder Woman. You gonna fight Wonder Woman? No, you're not.
Fuck no.
So Wonder Woman is in Aries. I'm literally sitting here. I think her birthday was said to be like the 23rd or the 24th of March, something like that. The 20-something. I do remember that, but I didn't look it up. But even though she gives off such Sagittarius energy to me, she is actually in Aries. And if you have not seen the first or the second movie, what are you doing? Why are you crazy? Gal Gadot, I think, is a wonderful Wonder Woman.
Agreements.
And if you enjoy not only comics, but also Greek mythology, you have it. It's right there in the movie.
It's right there.
The thing about Wonder Woman is it's actually rather accurate to the whole Amazon and Greek god type thing. Also accurate to the comics, as in the way it's sort of been rebooted, because Wonder Woman's origins have changed at least 5 times. So it is accurate depending on how you like your comics.
Depending on what flavor of comics you like.
Yeah, depending on if you like to read new comics or old comics or whatever, you'll be okay. It's fine. And you get a lot of nice Hippolyta energy in how she exists. And if you know anything about Greek mythology, you will probably appreciate the interpretation because it is, like I said, not that far off. I think the creator of Wonder Woman was actually interested in Greek mythology. So, let's not even get into him. But if you want to know, the reason she has a lasso of truth is because the creator of Wonder Woman invented the polygraph test.
Oh, what the fuck? That's fucking cool.
Yeah, he did.
Wow.
He created the polygraph, so he gave her a lasso of truth. And that's why you're compelled to tell the truth.
Wow.
I know.
That's cool, though.
He was also, him and his wife, I said we're not going to talk about it, we're talking about it. Him and his wife were very interested in BDSM and bondage, which is why Wonder Woman not only has a rope, lasso of truth, but also why her original weakness was being tied up by a man.
Oh.
She was tied up by a man. Her powers did not work. Woman, fine. Man, no. That was her kryptonite.
Oh.
So. Yeah. He was very much into bondage. So there's a lot of bondage in the early 1940s, 1950s Wonder Woman comics. In case that's your bag.
Interesting.
You're a Shibari fan, that's for you. So, two fun facts about the creator of Wonder Woman.
More fun facts?
No, I don't have any more fun facts.
Oh, I thought you were saying two fun facts, as in, like, I have two more fun facts.
No, I don't have two more, and let's be thankful.
Honestly, because that's a lot already. That's a lot to unpack.
If you like World War II stuff, you will also like the first Wonder Woman movie.
Oh, so good.
Which I know we both enjoy, a good period movie.
Yeah. I haven't watched the second one yet, so.
I haven't watched the second one either, but I just realized the first movie is a period movie, it is comics, and it is Greek mythology.
Oh.
It's literally, like, our favorite movie. That's literally three things we both like.
Oh, man, it's so good.
And it's Wonder Woman.
And it's Wonder Woman. Huh.
You want Greeks? You got it. You want females? You got them. You want World War II and Nazis? You got them. It's also directed by a woman. You got that too.
Hell yeah, brother.
So, you know what? Watch that, the first day of Barry season. We're on Ostara. Watch Wonder Woman.
Oh, man.
Watch it. Or the old TV show, or read it. But that, to me, that's what I'm going to do. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I've decided. That's how I'm going to celebrate.
It's a good plan.
Wonder Woman.
It's a good plan.
What is your media?
My media is... My media, as I'm looking at this blank page, because I turned to what I needed to turn to for the next topic instead, my media is Matilda, because, yeah.
I'm so happy that I was almost going to pick that.
I was trying to think of something that had to do with spring, but I couldn't think of anything. So I was scrolling through our media page, and I saw Matilda, and the only, like, one of the biggest scenes that I remember from Matilda is when her and her now adoptive parent, like, are eating that picnic in the fields in the sunshine.
Oh.
Yeah, you know that scene? I think it's at the end. I want to say it's at the end. But anyways, so...
As soon as somebody says Matilda, I think of that big-ass chocolate cake.
Oh, as soon as people say Matilda, I think of that one scene where she's, like, learning how to use her, her powers, and she's in her room, and she's just making everything fly around.
Oh, yeah.
That's usually what I think about.
Man, now I gotta watch Matilda.
Yeah, watch Matilda. But anyways, if you haven't ever seen Matilda, if you don't know what Matilda is, okay, I'll say this. If you are listening to this podcast, you probably know what Matilda is.
Fair.
Most little girls who loved Matilda are now witches. I'm going to say it.
Honestly.
I'm going to say it, and I meant it, okay?
Say it for the
people in the back. If you don't actually know what Matilda is, it is a movie about a young girl who... Is she an orphan in that movie? I can never remember.
No, she has parents.
Okay. Well, she has shitty parents. I do remember that.
She has awful parents.
She has really shitty parents, and she has really shitty school teachers, and just, like, everything's not great except for this one teacher who really wants to help her out, like... That woman, godsend. Anyway.
Miss Honey.
Yeah. Honey? What?
Yeah, Miss Honey.
Oh, I was like, what did you say? I heard honey, and I was like, honey who? Me? No. I'm not nobody's honey. Anyway.
No.
So her teacher, there's only one adult in her life, essentially, that actually... wants the best for her and is trying to get the best for her. But at some point in the movie, she discovers that she can use telekinesis. And then the shenanigans begin. As they always do. Oh, I think I remember the chocolate cake scene that you're talking about, because I just remembered that she went and... She went to the principal's house, her shitty teacher's house, one of the two. Somebody that was shitty to her at school.
No, the principal, I think, yeah.
Yeah, it was that big fat lady. That's not PC, but that overweight woman. She goes to that woman's house and she just fucks with her because... The woman, what, took her hairband? Something? We all got to watch Matilda again.
It's been a really long time since I've seen Matilda.
I think it's because she took her hair ribbon. No, the hair ribbon gets stuck on the tree, and that's how she knows Matilda was the one who did it. Anyway, I don't remember. We all got to watch Matilda again. But the whole basis is that... Sorry, like, I just got a message from the person I'm talking to on the Discord, and it said, shut up! Anyway, the basis of Matilda is a little girl in a shitty situation finds out she has telekinetic powers and shenanigans happen. Because you yes. know a little girl who's not in a great situation, any kid in a not great situation is going to do some shit. Because they're either neglected or whatever you want to call it, whatever is happening to them, shit's going to happen because they have to get it out somewhere. It's a great movie. Go and watch it. It's a solid A+ childhood favorite.
Matilda came out. I just looked it up. Matilda came out in 96.
Holy shit, that was the year I was born. That's yes. so exciting. That's so exciting. It's like when I learned that Lion King came out in 95 and I was like, close enough.
Good enough.
But that's what I have. That's all I'm going to say about Matilda, or I'm just going to keep going on and on and on.
About Matilda.
And nobody needs that.
Well, if you want to hear more from us in our shenanigans, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram just by searching for Mixed Witches Podcast. You can also shoot us an email, mixedwitchespodcast@gmail.com.
You can also find us on Society 6, which is also at Mixed Witches Podcast. Or, if you really want to head over, we've got our site up and running, and that is mixedwitchespodcast.squarespace.com. Come and visit us. We've got some FAQs about the two of us. And eventually, there will be a blog. And we're hoping...
There will be more on there.
Yeah, there will be more. It will evolve like a Pokemon.
Come talk about Wonder Woman and Matilda with us.
Yes. Oh, man. That'd be so good. We should... No. Never mind. Anyway.
What were we about to say?
I was going to say we should start, like, a community Discord. That'd be cool.
I are one brain cell. I literally thought it as soon as you opened your mouth, and I was about to say it.
Oh, well, you know what? Then let us know if you guys are interested in a community Discord, because that would be so fun. Come talk to us
like
about...
all 12 of you that follow us?
You know what? That's 12 more than the next person, so... than a person who's not doing a podcast.
There.
And I love every single one of you who listen to us every week. Every week in our shenanigans.
You're a blessing.
A blessing. But let us know if you guys want us to, like, figure out how to make a Discord or a community space that we can all go chat. I'll figure it out. I'll be happy to. In the meantime...
Since that's your new thing now.
Yeah, right now. anyways, I hope you guys had a good time listening to us go on and on and on. And hopefully you learned something about Ostara and how other cultures celebrate the spring equinox. And hopefully you also learned something about Aries.
I'm so ready for spring. It's not even funny.
No, honestly, I want to wear all the skirts. I'm so ready. But anyways, we'll see you guys next week. Hopefully you have a good week. And yeah, bye.
Bye.
When we were young, our minds were getting faded. Did not appreciate all that they created. We're chasing after that witch's brew. Damn, 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 damn. More, but doing less. Keeping score, but failing at the test, y'all. Chasing after that witch's brew. Damn, 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 damn. Chasing after that witch's brew. You got nothing better to do. cause you're sailing down the easiest street again. Damn, X marks the spot, or is it O? Getting high then, feeling so low, chasing after that witch's brew. Damn, 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 damn. Down easy street again. Damn, almost within reach, but out of your grasp. The last drop at the bottom of your glass, you're chasing after that witch's brew. Damn, 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 damn.